101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline from the Weather Channel meteorologist Richard Llewellyn joining us. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. I hope you're staying warm.
Well, yes, I am. It's nice and toasty in this studio, that's for sure. We are at 28 degrees, according to weather.com. Did we reach a record?
We're very close. I think we still have an hour or two to actually get to the record, which is 27, which is set back in 1892. There are records everywhere this morning. Already Alexandria has broken a record. New Iberia has. The downtown airport, they have a new record, but the records only go back to 1997. The old record was 36, set back in 2007. They're at 30 degrees right now. 24 in Monroe right now.
Whoa.
They shattered a record by 5 degrees. The old record was 29, set back in 1978. And, you know, believe it or not, I'm looking at statewide temperatures across Louisiana. The 20s have made it all the way down to Alexandria this morning to give you an idea of how far south the 20s have gotten. 30s all the way down to Baton Rouge, and it's in the low 40s in New Orleans this morning, just to give you an idea of how far south this cold has gotten. And, you know, looking at the tally so far across the country in regards to temperatures, especially for record lows, we have had 91 stations that have already broken daily records for the date. 25 are tying it, and 58 are nearing it, and we're one of those ones that are getting very close here in Shreveport.
Is this the coldest we have been in this late in March, too? Is that going to be one of those things you're looking at as well?
This is pretty late in the season to get temperatures this cold. This is one of the things that we're going to be looking at, but I think we're going to need at least another day to actually see if this is probably, you know, one of the coldest, you know, later periods in March that we've actually seen temperatures this cold. But, you know, the thing about it is, tomorrow and into the rest of the week, it's going to be a night and day difference, you know, in regards to temperatures. In fact, as early as this afternoon, we're going to see a noticeable flip in this weather, and then we're just going to rock it from here all the way into the upcoming weekend with temperatures flirting with 90 for a high as we move into this upcoming weekend. I mean, just an insane flip in weather.
So enjoy these cool temps while we have them.
This will probably be it. I mean, in regards to any more cold weather we are going to see this season, this is it. I don't think we don't have anything on the horizon that indicates that we're going to drop daytime temperatures after Thursday below 80 degrees for daytime highs, and we'll probably keep that all the way up into the fall season of this upcoming year. So, you know, I think you better enjoy it while we've got it, because I think we're going to be cranking up the air conditioners coming Thursday, and they're just going to stay in the on position probably for the rest of the year.
Okay, put your horticulture hat on for a moment. Our azaleas are almost at peak bloom today. I was looking at the Norton's Facebook page, the art gallery with the thousands of azalea bushes. They say they're real close to peak. Is this cold enough? Was it long enough that it's going to damage these beautiful spring flowers?
I don't think it's going to be, you know, the cold has been around long enough to damage the flowers. But, you know, I think that we are going to see some of the buds start to come off some of the trees. I definitely think that that's going to be the case. I mean, with temperatures, you know, down in the upper 20s, you know, you're going to start to see some, you know, some flowering buds start to come off some of these trees. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You know, are we going to lose them all? I don't think that will be the case. You know, and I think anything that we lose will quickly come back in the warm air that we're going to get later this week.
Okay, my wife is going to ask me. She planted zinnias, and the little greens are coming up around the beds.
Uh-oh.
Is that going to damage those? I didn't cover them.
That's going to be, you know, that's going to be close. I mean, I think that, you know, anything that's, you know, for, you know, that takes longer to bloom, you know, especially, you know, stuff that's tender vegetation like that, you know, there is a chance that we could see some damage in some of things like that. So, you know, I think it's going to be a wait and see. I think that's going to be a wait and see in regards to, you know, whether some tender vegetation like that is going to be hurt. But we won't know that until, you know, we get past, you know, then when we get to daylight and see exactly what how things turn out.
Richard, as we look toward deeper into the spring, what about storm activity? Are we projecting a mild spring or a more active?
Well, you know, it doesn't look very active if you look at the long range guidance. In fact, you know, as we look at, you know, the 6 to 10 day outlook, there's really not much in the way of any precipitation for us. You know, when temperatures are going to continue to run above average, 8 to 14 really doesn't show much more. In fact, it looks like they kind of shift the below average precipitation over into parts of eastern Mississippi, western Alabama, and the Florida panhandle. So, the, you know, the precipitation may start to come up in the 8 to 14 day outlook. In weeks 3 to 4, which is March 28th through April 10th, we start to see above average precipitation start to come back. You know, and as we look at the entire 3 month period, it's just kind of an average March, April, and May in regards to what we're going to see in precipitation amounts coming up. So, you know, I think there's some hope that as we, you know, get out into the end of March and the 1st of April, especially as we get on out toward Easter, we are going to start to see some better opportunities for some rain. But at least in the next 2 weeks, we just don't see that much.
So one more time, our low this morning had got down. Good God almighty. What's our low so far? And we still got a little time to go lower, right?
Yeah, we could still go another degree or two. Right now, 28 downtown. Bossier City's 27. You know, so we still have another little bit of time to go before, you know, we can see these temperatures fall a little bit more. In fact, I'm just looking to see if we've got any updated OBS out of the locations around the area. Haven't seen anything change yet. Still 28. But, you know, this is some bitter cold air. You know, for this late in the season to get this far south. So, you know, we'll hope and pray for the plants.
Mm-hmm. Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you soon. Coming up, Caddo Parish Commission has voted. Am I correct on this?
It's got a layover for 2 weeks, but they've preliminarily approved
$32,000 for the Shreveport Rougarou.
Louisiana Rougarou.
Louisiana Rougarou, mm-hmm, arena football team.
Mm.
We're going to have
Caddo Parish. A for-profit business.
Yeah. We're going to have Caddo Parish Commissioner Grace Ann Blake join us in about 20 minutes. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We were talking yesterday about the Oscars. You watched?
Yes.
The Oscars. I heard Clay and Buck talking about this yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize there are DEI requirements for a film to even be considered for an Oscar?
Absolutely. They changed that about 3-4 years ago.
I think back in like 18 or 19, they
Has
started.
Has it been that long?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They have several requirements that a film must meet before it's even considered.
Yes.
For an Academy Award.
Has to have a diverse cast.
It has to. Well, yes, at least one of the lead actors or significant supporting actors is from an underrepresented racial or ethnic group in a specific country or territory of production. Black, African, or Caribbean descent, East Asian, Hispanic, and it goes through, I don't know, 10. The general ensemble cast at least 30% of all actors not submitted for Oscar consideration are from at least two underrepresented groups. They just go on. Women, racial or ethnic, LGBTQ, people with cognitive or physical disabilities, deaf or hard of hearing. And they say that has to have a specific storyline or narrative of the film is centered on an underrepresented group. Women, racial or ethnic groups, LGBTQ, people with cognitive or physical disabilities. It goes on, Aaron. So films like Blade Runner or True Grit, I don't know. I'm just thinking, I guess The Godfather would qualify.
Yeah.
Being Italian-Americans. So, but a lot of filmmakers and a lot of actors say they don't do it for the awards.
Right.
They don't do it trying to, their objective is to get an Oscar.
Yeah.
Well, that may be good.
Is the reverse true too?
What do you mean?
Let's say you have a film about the Supremes. Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Okay.
Do you have to have a white cast member in that movie?
Oh, probably not.
Okay.
No, it doesn't work both ways, I'm sure.
So you can have an all-black film, and that's okay.
I don't know.
I mean, if you're going to do it right. Do it always to cover everyone, or don't do it. And I wouldn't want to be the one cast member who gets you qualified for an Oscar. Oh, you're our guy. We're going to put you in this movie because we have to have you if we want to win an Oscar.
Right.
Oh, okay. I'm your guy. Thanks. Appreciate that. Thanks for the role.
So do you think screenwriters are going, oh, I can't do that. I can't do this story. This isn't diverse enough.
Right.
Let me rewrite this.
Yeah. I don't know. We're going to get off into the weeds on this one and get in trouble, but I just don't think we need this stuff anymore. I may be wrong, but
at what point are we just going to work off of merit?
Right.
Across the board, just work off of merit.
You're good at what you do. You got the job.
A story is good. It's interesting. It's compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tell this story.
Right.
I don't know. It's just kind of frustrating.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Speaking of frustrating, Grace Ann Blake going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. The Caddo Parish Commission has voted $32,000 to the Louisiana Rougarou, which is the brand new arena football team that's at the Brookshire Grocery Arena.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing their games there. As far as I know, it's a...
of questions.
It's a for-profit business.
You bet.
It's not a nonprofit.
Nope.
It's not an NGA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, a lot of questions.
Town Square Media would like some money. Can we have some?
Yeah, Martindale Productions would like some money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. GeeksCon would like some money.
I bet Scott Musket would go, hey, we've been here for years.
We're a very successful sports team. Give us some money.
Probably one of the most successful sports teams in the history of the city.
Yeah, and I'm not ragging on the Rougarou. Please, don't hear us saying that.
Not the point.
Anyway, we'll get to that. Lots of hot debate on this one.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Caddo Parish Commissioner Grace Ann Blake joining us just after the break, talking about the Caddo Parish Commission's vote to approve $32,000 of taxpayer money to the Louisiana Rougarou Arena football team. That's coming up next. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I to calm down.
I know. Because this sounds like we're against the Louisiana Rougarou.
Not at all.
Which we, of course, are not. I hope they do great.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, arena football has not done well in our area.
Nope.
I can name different teams that have been here.
No need to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That are no longer here. But the Caddo Parish Commission has voted to award the Louisiana Rougarou, which is a new iteration of the Shreveport Rougarou from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's technically a new team.
Yeah, new owners. New owners.
Yeah. This is all new, a new organization.
New location and all that. Now, they've not awarded the money. They've just advanced it to Thursdays, all they've done.
But they voted to award the money.
No. They've just advanced it to Thursday's agenda, where it can't even be voted on Thursday. It's still got to lay over for two more weeks.
Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, is on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Grace Ann, good morning to you. Sorry, I did it.
Good morning, Aaron and Mike. And thank you, Aaron, for clarifying. No one voted for a passing of $32,000 to Louisiana Rougarou.
Okay, so.
I think it's important to make note that what I think people finally saw was a commission actually talking about what's going on and fleshing stuff out to find out what's going on. And I think that's a good thing. So this is the type of stuff that we should hope we see more often, is when something's brought before the commission that people ask questions and they're answered, so that people can make decisions and see what's happening, so that there's not this what people think is happening behind closed doors. So I want to applaud the president, Greg Young, for how he handled the meeting to keep it rolling and allowing the questions to be had.
But you're a conservative. Do you support giving tax dollars to private business?
I do not, but I wanted to see where this went. Like, what were they asking? I mean, Lyndon.
Do we even know what the money's going to be used for yet?
That was not revealed.
Wait, no one asked them, what are we using the money for? What are y'all doing? Are you doing your jobs?
So I will tell you that it's a no vote for me if there's no evidence of where it's going. And people were asking questions about where are they showing the value, mm-hmm. right? And so I don't think that that's something that needed to happen at that point. And this isn't a vote for it. This is another commissioner asked for friendly, let's get the information. He's trying to, and I think a lot of us are trying to figure out how do we support people in the right manner and wanting information. I don't think that's a bad thing once again.
No, that's an important consideration and difference, and I appreciate that. But how...
At the end...
If the commission does vote to award $32,000 to the Rougarou, does that open a door? What about the Shreveport Mudbugs?
What about Town Square Media? We could use some money.
Sure, Avalon Hair Salon could use money,
yeah.
Right? And I bring in people in the community and hire them and train them. So I understand all of these questions, but I think it's important that we do have moments like this so people can see what's going on. I have phone calls out to a couple of people in the community for other questions that happened during the meeting. And, you know, I just feel like this is what we should want. At the end of the work session, we actually had a constituent stand and say, thank you for fleshing this out.
Well, didn't flush it out. We don't know what the money's being used for. The number one question.
But that's what they're going to do.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yes.
That's what the vote was for.
And I think that what Lyndon was saying was this is...
Wait, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there, because this is what people need to understand. This was presented to you guys by Lyndon B. Johnson, a former commissioner who now correct. Is helping the Rougarou. And he is stepping in kind of to rally y'all's support. And there are a lot of people who love him, and that's how this has got so far down the road. Am I wrong?
I would not disagree.
He also told y'all, when asked, you know, these games are played in Bossier. Their company headquarters is at the Bossier Boardwalk. Mm. He was asked, well, is the Bossier Police Jury going to fund this? And he said the Bossier Police Jury is waiting for y'all, the Caddo Commission. Well, you know what, Mrs. Blake? Sorry, Grace Ann, my blood pressure's up. The Bossier Bossier Police Jury meets tomorrow. There's nothing about the Rougarou on their agenda.
Right. I 100% have questions and concerns like that. But I think once again, I'm going to go back to, you saw the questions being asked, trying to allow people to come and reveal and have those debates, I think is important. I do think that's important. Maybe this, asking these questions and getting what is the black and white rules of what the parish is doing and how do we present projects and programs and funding, these are questions that we haven't seen.
So, Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, you said it's a no vote from you unless you know where the money is going. What would be
Where the money's going, but it has to be done in a manner that is legal and that it's helping in the right manner, you know? So,
already got a text this morning from a local business owner who says if y'all pass this, he's going to sue you. Just what Caddo Parish needs, another lawsuit.
Right. Well, I would appreciate that people saw questions being asked. I mean, I said, hey, right here, the big conversation was, what is the money figure saying this is helping the community? And you saw the breakdown from multiple commissioners asking the questions. You know, Chris was like, hey, this is in Bossier. We need to see where the tax is. I would appreciate that information. Commissioner Atkins was asking and made it clear that he's a no privately, maybe not from the commission. I want to know what the 241, that to me is the interesting number. You're saying that this is supporting 241 jobs. What are the 241 jobs?
Yeah, the team roster's 25, right? And maybe they have 10 coaches.
I don't know. I have a couple of phone calls out because I want to know what that's about.
So are they counting the Brookshire Grocery Arena employees for crying out loud? Those aren't Rougarou employees.
I think, once again, I think the community should appreciate that questions are asked, and this was not a vote for the money to be spent. It was Commissioner Jones asked for a friendly, let's see, let's get information. And I think that's out of respect for the Louisiana Rougarou people that are here playing, trying to say, hey, we support you here. We want to see you successful. That doesn't mean you're going to see votes unless there really is a need for funding or appropriate, I don't know, outline plan for why we would fund this. And end of story. So you saw something that we haven't seen for a long time.
Okay, but if the Caddo Parish,
I haven't seen us ask these questions, hard questions, from the start. I've seen a lot of funding that I've questioned.
But how did 12 of you sit there yesterday and no one said, what's the money being used for? 12 of you. You follow me?
I would say this is, Lyndon brought it before us to say this is in support to help the community with jobs, people that are helping our youth in the community. I mean, he was making his case, Aaron.
Okay. So do the Mudbugs get money? Do the Mudbugs get money if this passes?
Right. Regardless of the rationale, you've donated money to a private organization.
Nobody has received money first.
I'm saying if it is, Doesn't that open the door for the mud bugs or any other private business, Avalon Hair Salon, right, to go, I need money. I employ people.
I think this would be where, if this was something, it should be in the economic development, like where there is that there's NGO funding for economic development, right?
Right. So now your attorney, Donna Frazier, made a very valid point, and we need to put this in here. We give money to private business all the time through that. Amazon, correct. I mean, through rebates and all that.
Correct. And so that I'm asking questions like, show me what this development is. Who are these? So that's the only case I would say. It's in the wrong location and somebody's wanting money. I don't know that I believe in that completely. There's a lot of things that we find that I have lots of questions about. And I think that, once again, I'm grateful to see there's some great decorum happening on the commission right now.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to have these conversations. And I think that's what's important, is a fleshing out of what is going on.
Okay, just got a text. We got a wrap. Someone says, why not let Caddo Parish citizens fund the Airline High School Booster Club? I'll leave it at that. Grace Ann, I appreciate you getting on the hot seat this morning.
I know. Airline band boosters.
Oh, the band boosters. Okay. Yeah. Thursday's meeting will be good. Hopefully, we're going to have Scott Musket on this morning because I think he wants some money from y'all, too. I'm just going to put that out there.
Hey, ask him how many jobs they actually bring with the team.
Yes, we absolutely will. And how many years they've been in business and how many tickets they sell.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks all for asking the hard questions and holding us accountable.
Sure.
Bye.
Thank you, Grace Ann. Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commission. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We do have some messages on the Shreveport Security Systems message board, but before we get to that, let me just say, everybody in this room looks so lovely in their green.
I made a bad mistake, though. I put on a long sleeve shirt.
A hoodie.
And then, no, a long sleeve shirt first, and then a big, thick Notre Dame hoodie.
Notre Dame.
And I'm burning up in here.
I'm sorry, I gotta say it. It's freaking St. Patrick's Day.
Stop it.
Happy St. Paddy's Day.
You know what my name is. I don't need to hear anybody talk like that today. I'm good with that. Oh, and the Blarney Stone and all that stuff. I want you to talk German today. Let's talk German.
I'm never talking
German. I'm going to kiss the Blarney Stone. Is that German, Ruben? Bulgarian or something? I don't know.
That was close.
Yeah, okay.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I do want to roll back for a moment, and I do want you to... I'm going to take other avenues with regard to this public funding for the Rougarou. Louisiana gives the Saints a bunch of money.
Yes.
Bunch of money, at least $5 million, and the Superdome deal. Now, the Saints and the Rougarou, it's a, you know, apples and oranges. I mean, it's apples and, you know, little bitty pomegranate seeds. But
I got a text. Jeff said, let's face it, we give money to a lot of private organizations because of the intrinsic value they bring to the community.
Most of them are nonprofits, though.
Think movie industry.
Yes. And we're doing that through the economic tax incentive program. We're not handing them cash dollars up ahead of time. What are the performance? I mean, does the Rougarou have to perform and send in audits and show you what they're using the money for? Here's an idea. Caddo Parish Commission, if you think this is a great idea, spend $30,000 and buy tickets. Buy $30,000 worth of tickets and give them to underprivileged kids so those kids can go see the Rougarou. That's $30,000.
To the organization.
To the organization. Buy them at a...
That's actually a good idea.
Buy them on a computer in Shreveport so that we get the tax dollars in Shreveport. I don't know how that works, but... Then hand the tickets out to kids who are good performing kids in school who want to go see the Rougarou who can't afford to go. And then let's have a couple of nights at the Rougarou for these kids. That way the money gets to the Rougarou. We know what it's being spent on. We know we're putting butts in seats. Bingo. I don't know how you're spending this $32,000.
Gets the ticket sales and concessions.
Absolutely.
And
perhaps return visitors because you made an impression on those kids.
You're making new fans.
And the kids will find a way to get a ticket. I just think if this is going to move forward, giving them a check for $32,000 is a horrible idea. And you know what? I'll bump it up to $33,000. I'll give $1,000 of my money if you buy tickets. You buy tickets and give them to worthy children. I'll throw in $1,000 of McCarty's money. And I'll find 10 other people that'll do the same. We'll bump this up to nearly $50,000. And we'll buy Rougarou tickets. Switch the plan on this.
Okay. What if I got a text? I know we got a wrap. What if the Rougarou asked for free rent? Would you be okay with that? Even though that might be $100,000 in value.
I don't know. Where's my blood pressure medicine? Or my tequila? Whichever comes first.
No, you got to have Jameson today.
Jameson's good today. Yeah.
Jameson Irish whiskey.
I want my Bailey's. That's what I want.
1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Well, just as we suspected, Shreveport Security Systems message board lit up.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the messages, Saints are a Louisiana team. Rougarou are now a Bossier team. Let Bossier give them $32,000. Mm. Caddo Parish Commissioner John Atkins on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. John, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Thank you for jumping on with us in the vote. And I appreciate this difference. The vote was not to award the money. The vote was to advance for more questions and more information. But you still voted no on this proposal. Am I correct?
That's correct. And you are correct. The Monday work sessions are always just to set the agenda for the Thursday regular meetings. So Monday's work session, we simply forwarded this issue to the Thursday session, and it would still have to lay over for another 2 weeks before a final vote. But the reason I voted to not forward it is because I felt that, I mean, there's lots of good things associated with having arena football in our area, and I'm not opposed to that. I'm supportive of the program.
Mm-hmm.
My issue was just that I didn't think it was appropriate to use parish funds to fund a for-profit entity, and that wasn't going to change with any additional information. That was just a fact of the situation. So for that reason, I voted against forwarding it to the Thursday agenda.
Have the Mudbugs asked for money, and have the Mudbugs ever been given money by Caddo Parish?
That was asked yesterday, Aaron, and I can't remember. I don't recall ever having an appropriation of the Mudbugs in my 11 years on the commission, but I can't swear to that fact.
Okay. If this passes, does that open that door?
It does. It opens the door for a number of other nonprofit entities to receive funding.
You said nonprofit. You're talking about
other.
Sorry. I misspoke. It opens the door for a number of for-profit entities to receive funding.
Go ahead.
There's an important distinction to make here. On the Caddo Parish Commission, we have two committees that allocate funding. One is the what I call the nonprofit committee, the NGO committee, we call it, and the other is the Economic Development Committee. And years ago, several of us worked to impose some different rules on the Economic Development Committee. And those rules were that an Economic Development Committee project, in my mind, should yield a positive economic impact to the parish. The NGO committee supports nonprofits that don't necessarily have to have an economic return, but should have some social return. But the Economic Development Committee, the rules that we agreed to several years ago said that would have a certain, it would generate more economic benefit for the parish than the appropriation that was given. And this situation was coming through economic development.
John, I'm going to tell you, I was a little angry at all 12 of you yesterday watching this. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I sit there and I'm watching the meeting, and not one of the 12, and I know you were a no vote regardless, said, what's the money for? Why do you need the money? Are you going to come back and need more next year, next month? I mean, we don't even know what they're asking for the money for. Do we know? And we just didn't say it yesterday.
We had the budget. The budget was on our screens. It was attached to the agenda. So we saw how those funds would be allocated.
And what is that?
A portion of it was, I can't remember all of the issues or all the line items, but one of the line items was funding for supporting teams that come into the community. So if you have a visiting team, apparently the rules, as I was told, the rules of the Arena Football League is that the host team actually provides the lodging, you know, room and board for visiting teams. So a meaningful portion of that request was associated with providing room and board for visiting teams when they come in.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're building a hotel right there by the Brookshire Grocery Arena. Or we're certain right now they would stay in the Caddo Parish Hotel, but in the future they might stay right there by the Brookshire Grocery Arena, which is in Bossier Parish.
Right. There's no, to me, it was not clear that they'd be staying in Caddo. They could stay anywhere in the area.
That was not required in this proposal.
No, I don't recall seeing a specific requirement that they stay in Caddo. It was mentioned during the discussion that they would likely stay in Caddo, but it wasn't, I don't recall it being a requirement.
We're talking with John Atkins, Caddo Parish Commissioner. John, are there specific requirements for funding for situations like this? A certain number of jobs, a certain, you know, benefits to the community for this type of funding?
Well, again, for an Economic Development Committee appropriation, the rules that we've operated by in the past have required that an economic development study be done before funding is allocated, and a study was done here, and that the economic impact, the positive economic impact, basically the tax benefits from the project would exceed the appropriation for the project. And in this particular case, the tax benefits, in my view, in my interpretation of the data, the tax benefits did not equal the size of the requested appropriation.
And let me say, I hope for the best for the Rougarou and Arena Football here. I really do. I want them to succeed. I'm not opposed to them coming here and being successful. Historically, Arena Football has not been successful in our area. Is that something that is being considered when maybe allocating these funds?
Well, I think that I think it was President Greg Young stated that that our community has not always indicated a willingness to support projects of this nature, in that attendance is oftentimes fairly low. Now, I guess the Mudbugs, they at one time had built a strong following, but they still weren't able to dollar out. I think the Arena Football is still, they've yet to prove that the community really embraces their product offering. I, like you, Mike, would like to see them succeed and would like to see this program, this Arena Football program, be a success in our community. But we'll just need to, you know, they'll need to illustrate through attendance that this is a product that the community wants to embrace.
Earlier last hour, I made this pledge, and I'm going to see if this is a good idea for you and if you'll chip in too, because you said you want to support the team however you can, but not with tax dollars. Why not spend the $30,000 if you're gonna spend it anyway, buy tickets to the Rougarou? I'll chip in another $1,000. I've already got two other people at $1,000. I'm sure you probably would put up $1,000. We'll get this to $50,000 by week's end, and we'll buy tickets. That'll help the Rougarou. Then we can give those tickets to underprivileged children who are doing good in school, who might become repeat customers. Better idea, Mr. Atkins?
Well, I think that they the Rougarou organization had similar objectives in mind. They have been they have a program where, like, if a parent attends, if a parent buys a ticket, the child would go for free, or the children would go for free. So they're working on some programs like that. You know, Aaron, I'm happy to chip into that program myself, mm-hmm. but I still don't think it's appropriate for the parish to use parish allocations or parish appropriations to fund a for-profit entity. I think the parish should stay out of the for-profit side of things.
Okay. I appreciate that attitude, John Atkins. I got a text that said, so could we give incentives by providing free lodging for the visiting teams at the Downtown Convention Center, to whom we also provide incentives?
Hmm. Well, I believe the Hilton Downtown is its own entity.
Right.
So it does not receive city or parish funding?
It doesn't receive parish funding. I don't know about city funding.
Okay.
I don't study the city budget. But I think the hotel itself is a standalone entity, and but the convention center, all the meeting space, that's owned by the city, but there's no lodging associated with the convention
right.
center itself.
I think he probably meant the hotel there. Okay.
Right.
Well, John, thank you so much.
And the city may have supported the hotel when it was built years ago in some way. That's just, I just don't know for sure.
Gotcha. We got a real quick question on the Shreveport Security Systems message board that asked, are they paying it back?
No, a appropriation is not a loan. It's a contribution.
And this sounds like expenses they would need every year. So they'll be back next year if we pass this, right?
That would likely be true.
Okay. Thank you, John Atkins. Appreciate your time.
Thank you all. Appreciate it. Take care. Have a good day.
Mm-hmm. You too, sir. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
More digging.
This is an interesting concept. We got mm-hmm. a text that said, if we're willing to give public dollars, why don't we use some of that to host some of the Louisiana High School State Championship football games at Independence Stadium?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Instead of it being in New Orleans every year.
My kid had to always travel to Lafayette or New Orleans for soccer. Well, let's host some of those big state championships here.
Yes.
Let's do some of that. For the select teams and have big tournaments here. Cabos is big enough now. The fields are big enough.
Oh, sure.
Let's do more of that here. And we maybe already do that. I just don't know. But bring more of that to our community. I'm trying to get my blood pressure down. I really am.
That's a great idea.
We did catch up with Scott Musket from the Mudbugs. He's going to join us in about 15 minutes. If you're going to give the money to the Rougarou, let's open the door for the Mudbugs, too. I'm sure he could use some money. We'll ask him if he'll put his hand out next. And he'll answer that question for us.
Because,
seriously, the Mudbugs need help in terms of they have no heating and air conditioning in that building.
You don't want heat in there. You got ice.
Well, I know, but you want...
have heat blowing on the ice.
Well, you need some sort of system that will help the people that are going to the game. But they have a lot of needs, infrastructure needs at Hirsch. And they're right now priority five with the state.
Speaking of, Mudbugs have a game at home tonight.
Do they? Oh, cool.
It's a makeup game for one that they weren't able to play earlier. So there's a home game tonight for the Bugs.
Interesting.
St. Patrick's Day night game.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that. The Mudbugs are great.
I got a chance to go last weekend that I went? On a Friday night?
Yeah, I think so.
Aaron, it has been way too long since I've been. It was so much fun.
They make it fun.
It was really fun to just be there and support those boys. It was great.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a great team. Muskie will jump on. He's positive. He's not going to rag on the Rougarou or anything like that. He simply is saying, hey, this is opening the door. We could sure use some help. And here's how I'll spend the money.
Right.
Here's what I'll do. And I've been here for, how long's Muskie been here? 25 years?
Isn't that incredible?
Unbelievable.
It really is.
Yeah.
If we start going, really? They started in what year?
Oh, gosh.
It's been that long?
I know.
Wow.
I know. It's incredible. And he'll be the first to tell you. He wants all sports teams in the area to be successful. But is using government dollars for a for-profit sports team a good idea?
And there'll be those. I bet Taylor Moore wished he could have gotten some money.
Oh, absolutely!
Back in the day for the Shreveport Captains
and folks who you know, I've said before, yes, we give the Saints money, but an NFL franchise is a different animal. It's a different animal. They're very limited. You always want to keep yours if you can. When the Saints start talking about moving and leaving the state,
Louisiana. When they started talking about San Antonio.
Yep. Louisiana has to step up and keep that team here. That's a big deal. This is not even apples and oranges. It's not even close.
Scott Musket will be joining us in about 10 minutes. Mm. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mudbugs General Manager Scott Musket, actually he's a Shreveport Mudbugs legend, going to be joining us right after the break. We'll discuss the Caddo Parish Commission possibly funding some of the Rougarou. Hear what he's got to say next. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mudbugs legend and Zamboni pilot Scott Musket joining us.
And dog poop picker upper, yeah.
Yeah, I was there one night during one of the Odessa games, and I was going to try to holler at you, but you were so concentrating on that ice. But had a great time. Scott, thanks for joining us.
The big question to you, and it came up yesterday, have the Mudbugs ever asked the Caddo Parish Commission for money?
No, the Mudbugs have never. No.
Could you use some money from the Caddo Parish Commission? You have a few needs up there, I would assume.
Yeah, here's the thing. There's when Michael Playman brought the Mudbugs to Shreveport, there was a cost of doing business. He knew what that cost was, and that's why businessmen do business. They calculate the risk. They calculate the reward, and then John Madden came in and he made those same choices, you know, and then Tommy Scott came in, and Tommy to this day, you know, it's Tommy's birthday today. Happy birthday, Tommy.
Yep.
And Tommy to this day makes every choice that he makes, understanding that those choices come with consequences, and that's the cost of doing business. When we moved into the Hirsch, not only did we not ask the city for money to improve their building, we spent $3 million of our own money on their building that we play in now.
Right.
And Mike, I love you, but this is what you have to understand. If you don't have heat to burn out humidity, the humidity rises, cools, condenses, and falls as rain in the building.
Yes.
And then
we
and
need
then
heat in there.
Then this poor old bugger that runs this thing, he has to be up here at 4:30 in the morning knocking off poop nipples off the ice because it falls onto the ice. And you know that pretty ice that you said I was so concentrated on?
Yeah.
Well, I'm concentrated on it because that is, you know, that is one of those costs of doing business that I take personal, you know. So the Mudbugs haven't asked for money, and I'll be honest with you, the Mudbugs never will ask for money.
If they do this, you still won't go before them and ask for money?
Nope.
Explain why not.
Because it's not, you know what I want you to do? I want you to come to a hockey game. And I want you to come. I'm providing you with a service that has a value, you know.
Absolutely.
I want you to buy your tickets, come to a hockey game, see what we do, and then decide, hey, you know what? This is awesome. I'm coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That is what sports franchises are designed to do. And I shouldn't have to take money from the parish to be in the schools and impact kids' lives. I'm providing a service to our fans that they can come and be entertained. I'm providing a service to my players that I'm helping you become a better human being. You should want to give back to your community. I shouldn't have to give you $32,000 to give back to the community you play in.
You're a longtime sports guy. Do you think it's a bad idea to use tax dollars for any sports team? Let's leave the Saints out of this equation right now. The NFL's a different animal. But for teams like these, bad idea to use tax dollars, my tax dollars for this.
Listen, this is very difficult for me because I don't want this to come across as that there's sour grapes or anything. I was the first one to say, you know what? Like, I'm inviting the Rougarou into George's Pond because I believe that Shreveport needs more sports. I believe all of that, and I think it's a great thing. But, folks, if you believe that $32,500 is going to put the Rougarou into a place where they are successful, you're so wrong. Like, we have never asked for money from the parish because the amount of money that the parish or the city or anybody other than our business folks, that money, if I'm asking you for that money, it's because I need it to pay a bill. Mm. If I have to have that money to pay a bill, I'm in big trouble, man. Mm. I'm in big trouble.
Scott Musket with the Mudbugs. You guys, you pay for hotels for visiting teams, and you put up all the visitors, don't you?
Yeah, that's a cost of doing business. Like, you do those things just like you pay for your utilities, just like you pay for your rent, just like you pay for your league dues, just like you pay for
your heat in the arena.
That's right. If I had heat, I'd pay for that too. Listen, I really, this is very important to me. I do want a sports franchise other than the Mudbugs to be successful in this area. This is not me speaking on behalf of the Mudbugs. I don't think that this is a path that is a good one for the city of Shreveport to take, the cattle, the parish to take. I think that if you want a sports franchise to be successful, you have to go out and make it successful. And that doesn't come from somebody else's money. It comes from you doing a job that gives a product that makes people say, hey, I want to invest in it. I want to support it.
Let me ask you this, Scott Musket, with the Mudbugs. There was some talk about the Mudbugs yesterday during the meeting and why the Rougarou could not play at Hirsch. And they said they really can't play on top of the ice. Y'all seasons are kind of commingling, and that they couldn't play on turf on top of the ice because it would cause too many injuries to these players. Did they try to come back and play at the Hirsch again, or what? Why are they not at the Hirsch anymore?
So I am not. I'm not going to get into that. There is a reason that they did not come back to the Hirsch.
And it's not about the ice?
And it is not about the ice. Let's think about this for a second, okay? Think about this. This is the process that happens when you change ice into basketball, which happens in big facilities in a day. There's a hockey game in the morning and a basketball game in the afternoon. It happens all the time, everywhere, right?
Right.
What happens is you bring out a floor covering, right? A fiber floor covering. Some are wood, some are fiberglass, but you cover up all the ice, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you put the turf, the exact same turf that you put on top of concrete. Now, I'm not trying to get scientific here, but which is harder, concrete or concrete covered by ice, covered by flooring, and then turf?
Give me the ice. Like, yeah.
That is a complete, like, fabrication of truth. Like, that is not the reason. There is a reason. That ain't it.
Mm. Let's just go back to general sports. Are you in trouble if you're a sports franchise and you've got 400 to 800 people butts in seats?
Well, I guess that depends on your rental agreement. Like, if you're not paying anything for rent and you're able to capitalize some financial gain from people buying hot dogs and hamburgers and beer and Coke and, it just depends on your business model as to what you've got going out. I will tell you that when the Mud Bugs were at Brookshire's Grocery Arena now, but CenturyTel back then, if we ever had under 1,000 people, like when we were reaching for our wallets, we were leaving dents in our butt because you were in trouble.
That's a good point. You know, that they've got to put on a show. They've got to be the ones that bring people back. It's got to be on the Rougarou to make this work.
Yeah, I just think it's business.
Cost of doing business.
Yeah, like I don't know how to explain it. Like, to me, your dollars and cents has to add up on the column that at the end of the day you can afford to do business. If you get to the point where, wow, you know, we're not drawing big enough to pay our bills, then I hate to say this, but like, you're not going to go ask for 32.5 this year and never go back again.
Yeah.
You're going to, next year, you're going to ask for a flat 100,000. And
yeah, because you're still paying for those hotel rooms next year that they say they need the money to pay for the hotel rooms. Well, guess what? You're going to still need it next year, right?
Well, and again, like, okay, so if you use this money to pay for the hotel rooms, what's going to pay for the next thing that you have? And again, this is not me ripping on them. This is just like business 101. If you need that money to pay for that bill, where's the money going to come from to pay for the next bill and the next bill? Because I promise you, it can't be as simple as, you know, we just need help with hotel rooms.
Mm.
Like, there's...
Is it maybe the hope of, well, we're going to be doing much, much better by this point next year, and we won't need that help? Do you think that might be the thinking? I know I'm asking conjecture here, but...
Well, I can only go off of, you know, what the Mudbugs have done. And I will tell you, our first year at the Hirsch, way back in, are you guys ready for this? Way back in 1997, I know, it hurts all over.
That's
wow.
What we were saying. Yeah.
Back in 1997, our attendance was huge. 98, it went down a little bit. 99, it went down a little bit. 2000, we moved over to the CenturyTel, and it went up big. And then the next year, it went down a little bit. It went down a little bit. Went down a little bit. Went down a little bit. And then when we came back here to the Hirsch, when we first moved into George's Pond, our numbers were good. The next year, they were better. The next year they were better. The next year they were better. The next year they were better. So there's two different scales to look at. When we were first here, the numbers went down every year. When we went over to the CenturyTel, the numbers went down every year. When we came back here, those numbers went up every year, and are still going up. Now, am I saying that the Rougarou can't do that? No, I think that they can, but please keep in mind that all of that time, we didn't go to the city or the parish and say, hey, can you pay for our hotel rooms? Because we can't do it.
Gotcha. Oh, Scott Musket, a great conversation. We appreciate your time this morning. There's more on this to be fleshed out, and we'll be working on it.
All right, guys. Thanks for having
hey,
me.
Hey, real quick, game tonight.
Yes.
Puck drops.
Yeah, puck drops at 7-11. 7-11 start time. Hopefully it's a lucky 7-11 start time.
Yeah.
And it's Tommy Scott's birthday, and it's Mardi Gras, so we're St. Patrick's Day, so we're calling it St. Tommy's Day.
St. Tommy's Day. I love that.
Who are we playing tonight?
We play against a Lone Star. Boo.
Loser. Losers.
We don't like those guys.
No, we don't. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you.
Scott Musket, Shreveport Mudbugs. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
First of all, we live in an amazing time, okay? Can we acknowledge that? We take for granted so much. I'm sitting here looking live at the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Going that's on cool. Right. That's one of my goals. I would love to experience St. Patrick's Day in Dublin, Ireland.
That would be nice.
My daughter and I have talked about going to Ireland one year.
Done that.
And do it. Oh, shut up.
I know. It's awesome. It's awesome.
There's a documentary on Amazon Prime. It used to be you could stream it. Now you had to pay for it, which I did, called The Irish Pub. And it's simply, there's not even a narrator. It's simply this film crew traveling across Ireland to these very small little hamlets and talking to these pub owners. And the different types of pubs that there are, and large ones in Dublin and small ones in these little villages and hamlets. Fascinating.
Yeah.
And my daughter and I want to do one of those and go to these pubs and see how many are still there and just go across the country. And I'd love to do it around St. Patrick's Day.
I stayed in a hotel right at the... Like, let's say Texas Street is your main downtown area in Dublin. And I stayed at a hotel that was right where the church is, First Methodist Church. And then you walk down Texas Street, and on either side of this beautiful street in Dublin was pub after pub after pub. And a lot of the owners lived above them.
Right.
And you could hear music coming out of almost all of them. It was just absolutely a treasure. I'm so glad I got to do it, and it was a blast. I wanted to just buy one of those pubs and just stay there.
Yes!
Just let me just do it.
Yeah. Just play Irish music.
Let me just do it.
Sell Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Alexander breaks down the Save America Act after the news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Sorry I had to do it. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Our good friend Royal Alexander, local attorney. And by the way, on a personal note, I love the name Royal. That was my grandfather's name, Royal Brock.
I don't think we've ever talked about that. I did not realize.
That has a special meaning for me. He was a World War II pilot. Thank you for joining us. We're talking about the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act. And, of course, it basically says you have to have an ID to vote.
That's right. It to me, is very straightforward, Mike. It's supported by large majorities of Democrats, independents, whites, blacks, Latinos. An overwhelming majority of voters support this, and that's exactly right. What we're talking about is to verify voter citizenship when you register to vote, you would need a document like a passport, a birth certificate, a military ID to register. And to me, and then, of course, the photo ID the day you show up. But what it really comes down to me is that only American citizens should decide American elections. It seems ludicrous that we would actually have to make that statement that right. someone other than Americans would decide an American election.
But that was my next point. The fact that we even have to have this legislation blows my mind.
It does, and it makes you wonder why someone could even be opposed to it. And in other words, the Declaration of Independence talks about the consent of the governed. Well, to me, the Save America Act ensures government by the consent of Americans. I mean, Americans have to decide American elections. Then, however it turns out, whether it's a presidential election or the U.S. Senate or the U.S. House, we will know that it was fairly done, that if you lost, then you just lost, but it was American citizens who decided it.
Well, you also referenced my next question. What does it say, Royal Alexander, about someone's motive that opposes voter identification?
I've really tried to think what basis there could be. You always try to think, well, what is my opponent's argument here? What is it based upon? But what we're talking about really is getting people who are in the country illegally and giving them the right to vote. And it's hard to imagine any other way than to try to win elections by votes other than the votes of American citizens. I mean, what other conclusion can you draw?
Several government watchdog groups are saying that about 9% of American citizens, though, who are voting age, 21 million people, don't have proof of citizenship readily available, cannot get their hands on their birth certificate, don't have a passport, and this would be disenfranchising those folks from voting. What say ye?
You know, Aaron, I've seen that too, and when you weigh that, certainly for those people, it would require some effort, but we're talking about perhaps our most fundamental right of all. The right to vote is preservative of all of our other rights. In other words, and we have to, I mean, we're the world's only superpower. We've got to know that only the people in our nation, it's a very basic requirement. And sure, somebody's going to have to go get those documents. But so much of what courts do is balancing. When you balance what you just said, Aaron, those supposedly 21 million people who will be disenfranchised because they've got to actually take a step forward to be an American citizen, to demonstrate their civic obligation to vote by actually getting a birth certificate or getting a passport versus preserving our fundamental constitutional right to govern ourselves.
But a passport's $200. You know there's people that are not going to be able to afford that.
But I promise you there's organizations that would be willing to make those purchases, just like there's organizations out there. Both political parties would want to be sure if they thought, you know, that group of voters is going to support our candidate. Let's just buy them. But let's get them birth certificates, get them passports. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying it wouldn't take a step. But again, we're talking about being sure we live in a country. I mean, the rest of the world tries to imitate the United States. Other countries are going to biometrics to hand putting your fingerprint or your thumb or something on the to be allowed to vote, or doing a face scan to know that it's you. And in our country, we're still having this struggle. Mm. We can't get people a valid document to use to show that they're an American citizen. It just and again, polling majorities show great across the board support for this.
Again, it blows my mind that we even need this legislation. You talked about the effort it takes, though. When I finally broke down and said, okay, I'm going to go get the real ID, that took effort. Mm-hmm. I had to gather documents. I had to make sure I had the correct documentation. And I went to the Social Security office, for crying out loud. That took effort.
It does. So there's certain requirements of citizenship, I think. And sometimes it takes an effort or two. Voting itself takes an effort. You've got to know when election day is. Am I going to early vote? Am I going to vote on the day of? You know, I've got to look a little bit at the candidates. If there's a constitutional amendment, I've got to figure that out. Citizenship has a certain requirement to it. And to me, being sure someone is an American citizen is just, otherwise, we're letting kind of the rest of the world decide our elections. And that to me is crazy.
Constitutional attorney Royal Alexander, does the Save America Act address mail-in voting?
Yeah, it's not in the way that I would like. No, it doesn't fully address it, because I would favor only the way many of us grew up with, if you're either sick or you have to be out of the country, it's a very limited circumstance. So it doesn't fully address it to me, but starting out with just this is a great beginning, I think. And speaking of that, no pun intended, the talking filibuster, how they're going to get this accomplished again. The 60-vote rule is how you cut off debate. You invoke cloture in the U.S. Senate and cut off debate with 60 votes. Well, there's only 53 Republicans, so they could have one of those talking filibusters where you just have to remain on your feet. But the thing is, there's 47 Democrats, and it, like the Republicans could do in reverse, you can hand it off to the next one. And so you literally could go weeks and weeks and weeks handing it off to the next Democrat who comes and takes it over maybe for 8 hours. And so if you know, I don't know how you get there procedurally, but I do think the policy behind the Save America Act is the right one. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Royal. We appreciate your input.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
So we'll talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, we were talking earlier this morning, been talking most in the morning, about the Caddo Parish Commission proposal to, fund the Louisiana Rougarou, $32,000.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they've asked the Caddo Commission for $32,000. I'm a little confused though, because they made a big deal yesterday. Lyndon B. Johnson, a former commissioner, got up and said, "Hey, the team's under new owners. They've changed the name from the Shreveport Rougarou to the Louisiana Rougarou. New owners. They've starting fresh." I mean, I still see the owner from last year is still part of the ownership this year. So, we need to make sure we flesh it all out and we know exactly what's going on. And were there problems with the ownership last year? I know there were a trio of owners, and I think last year, and now there's just one owner this year. So we need to make sure, is this really new ownership? Did the gentleman who owned the team last year, and I've reached out to him to see if he'll come on the air, because he needs to explain, why do you need government money to fund your team? If you heard Scott Musket say, you need to be a business. You need to be successful on your own. You don't need to be asking government for money to pay bills. And if you're looking at needing government money for that, then you might be struggling. You might be in trouble. Because the part of this money was going to be used for paying the hotel bill of visiting teams, as what I was told,
right,
by Commissioner John Atkins. And that's going to be an expense next year, too. So are we going to need the money next year as well? Then we need to be upfront about it and say, hey, this is, but maybe they're thinking, we'll be real successful, thing right. Will pick up.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't mean to put words into their mouths, but I'm mm-hmm. thinking, this is considered maybe a startup year for it's basically a new organization, and they're hoping, like the Mudbugs, that their attendance will grow and their profits will grow and they'll be able to self-fund all of these things.
Right. And I don't know who you believe, but I have friends who are close to the Brookshire Grocery Arena, and some are saying there were about 400 people in the seats for these first couple of games, and some are saying it was about 800. That's not enough. That's not enough. You need to be at least 1,000 to be able to pay your bills and all that. And I also question the comments that were made that said they have 241 employees. I don't know who you're counting. Your team roster's 25. Maybe you have 10 coaches.
So this was at the commission meeting yesterday?
Yes, it was brought up that they are responsible
241 employees.
There's no way. Unless you're counting the Brookshire Grocery Arena employees, but that's not your employees. Those people have jobs with or without you. And I can't imagine who else they'd be counting.
Right.
Maybe they have ancillary businesses.
Right, there you go.
Along with it. I don't know, but we need to see that. Let me see the list of the 241 employees, who are they? And are the jobs playing on the football team, are those full-time jobs? I would not think so. We're not paying them. They're not being paid 40 or 50 or 60 grand a year to play football, are they? If they are, I'd be surprised. I think it's a part-time gig, so can you really count those?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. The commission voted 8-4 to move the measure from the Monday work session agenda to the Thursday meeting. It wasn't necessarily an 8-4 vote to give them the money.
Right, and that's an important designation for me to say, okay, they did not vote to just issue the money.
Right.
As Grace Ann Blake told us, and we'll hear from her in about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity to have more questions answered.
To vet everything.
To move it forward, to get questions answered.
Mm-hmm. But I just think using public tax money for a for-profit business is a slippery slope.
Which is what John Atkins told us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Caddo Parish Commissioner said he's opposed to it. He does not think that's a good idea.
Yes.
Regardless of what questions are asked and answered.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think it's a mistake. Find a way to help the Rougarou in another way, but giving them tax money, maybe a loan, maybe they pay it back. But we know how that's been. You know, we've had those.
Historically, arena football has not done well in our area.
Mm-hmm. And the city of Shreveport lost $1 million on the CFL, right? Remember that boondoggle?
Very much. Yeah, absolutely.
We shouldn't be using
the Pirates.
Yes, we shouldn't.
Aptly named.
Mm-hmm. And there was a Canadian basketball team, too, that I think more public money was flushed down the toilet. Stop flushing my money. Stop it.
Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, joins us in 10 minutes to discuss this. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Should the Caddo Parish Commission be funding private for-profit organizations? Commissioner Grace Ann Blake talks to us right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Calm down.
I know. Because this sounds like we're against the Louisiana Rougarou.
Not at all.
Which we, of course, are not. I hope they do great.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, arena football has not done well in our area.
Nope.
I can name different teams that have been here.
No need to do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That are no longer here. But the Caddo Parish Commission has voted to award the Louisiana Rougarou, which is a new iteration of the Shreveport Rougarou from last year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's technically a new team.
Yeah, new owners.
New owners. Yeah. This is all new, a new organization.
New location and all that. Now, they've not awarded the money. They've just advanced it to Thursdays, all they've done.
But they voted to award the money.
No. They've just advanced it to Thursday's agenda, where it can't even be voted on Thursday. It's still got to lay over for 2 more weeks.
Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, is on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Grace Ann, good morning to you. Sorry, I did it.
Good morning, Aaron and Mike, and thank you, Aaron, for clarifying. No one's voted for a passing of $32,000 to Louisiana Rougarou.
I
think it's important to make note that what I think people finally saw was a commission actually talking about what's going on and fleshing stuff out to find out what's going on. And I think that's a good thing. So this is the type of stuff that we should hope we see more often, is when something's brought before the commission that people ask questions and they're answered so that people can make decisions and see what's happening. so that there's not this, what people think is happening behind closed doors. So I want to applaud the president, Greg Young, for how he handled the meeting to keep it rolling and allowing the questions to be had.
But you're a conservative. Do you support giving tax dollars to private business?
I do not, but I wanted to see where this went. Like, what were they asking? I mean, Lyndon,
do we even know what the money's going to be used for yet?
That was not revealed.
Wait, no one asked them, what are we using the money for? What are y'all doing? Are you doing your jobs?
So I will tell you that it's a no vote for me if there's no evidence of where it's going. And people were asking questions about where are they showing the value, mm-hmm. right? And so I don't think that that's something that needed to happen at that point. And this isn't a vote for it. This is another commissioner asked for friendly, let's get the information. He's trying to, and I think a lot of us are trying to figure out how do we support people in the right manner and wanting information. I don't think that's a bad thing once again.
No, that's an important consideration and difference, and I appreciate that. But how...
At the end...
If you vote, if the commission does vote to award $32,000 to the Rougarou, does that open a door? What about the Shreveport Mudbugs?
What about Lydia? We can use some money.
Sure, Avalon Hair Salon could use money,
yeah.
right? And I bring in people in the community and hire them and train them. So I understand all of these questions, but I think it's important that we do have moments like this so people can see what's going on. I have phone calls out to a couple of people in the community for other questions that happened during the meeting. And, you know, I just feel like this is what we should want. At the end of the session, we actually had a constituent stand and say, thank you for fleshing this out.
Well, didn't flush it out. We don't know what the money's being used for. The number one question.
But that's what they're going to do.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yes.
That's what the vote was for.
And I think that what Lyndon was saying was this is...
Wait, let me stop you there. Let me stop you there because this is what people need to understand. This was presented to you guys by Lyndon B. Johnson, a former commissioner who now correct. Is helping the Rougarou. And he is stepping in kind of to rally y'all's support. And there are a lot of people who love him, and that's how this has got so far down the road. Am I wrong?
I would not disagree.
He also told y'all, when asked, you know, these games are played in Bossier. Their company headquarters is at the Bossier Boardwalk. Mm. He was asked, well, is the Bossier Police Jury going to fund this? And he said the Bossier Police Jury is waiting for y'all, the Caddo Commission. Well, you know what, Mrs. Blake? Sorry, Grace Ann. My blood pressure's up. The Bossier Police Jury meets. The Bossier Police Jury meets tomorrow. There's nothing about the Rougarou on their agenda.
Right. I'm not. I 100% have questions and concerns like that. But I think once again, I'm going to go back to. You saw the questions being asked, trying to allow people to come and reveal and have those debates, I think is important. I do think that's important. Maybe this, asking these questions and getting what is the black and white rules of what the parish is doing and how do we present projects and programs and funding, these are questions that we haven't seen.
So, Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, you said it's a no vote from you unless you know where the money is going. What would be
where the money's going, but it has to be done in a manner that is legal and that it's helping in the right manner, you know? So,
already got a text this morning from a local business owner who says if y'all pass this, he's going to sue you. Just what Caddo Parish needs, another lawsuit.
Right. Well, I would appreciate that people saw questions being asked. I mean, I said, hey, right here, you're the big conversation was, what is the money figure saying this is helping the community? And you saw the breakdown from multiple asking the question, you know. Chris was like, hey, this is in Bossier. We need to see where this the tax is. I would appreciate that information. Commissioner Atkins was asking and made it clear that he's a no privately, maybe not from the commission. I said, I want to know what the 241, that to me is the interesting number. You're saying that this is supporting 241 jobs. What are the 241 jobs?
Yeah, the team roster's 25, right? And maybe they have 10 coaches?
I don't know. I have a couple phone calls out because I want to know what that's about.
So are they counting the Brookshire Grocery Arena employees, for crying out loud? Those aren't Rougarou employees.
Know, but I think, once again, I think the community should appreciate that questions are asked, and this was not a vote for the money to be spent. It was asked for a friendly, let's see, let's get information. And I think that's out of respect for the Louisiana Rougarou people that are here playing, trying to say, hey, we support you here. We want to see you successful. That doesn't mean you're going to see votes unless there really is a need for funding or appropriate, I don't know, outline plan for why we would fund this. And end of story. So you saw something that we haven't seen for a long time.
Okay, but
I haven't seen us ask these questions, hard questions, from the start. I've seen a lot of funding that I've questioned.
But how did 12 of you sit there yesterday and no one said, what's the money being used for? 12 of you. You follow me?
I would say this is, Lyndon brought it before us to say this is in support to help the community with jobs, people that are helping our youth in the community. I mean, he was making his case, Aaron.
Okay. Do the mud bugs get money if this passes?
Right. Regardless of the rationale, you've donated money to a private organization.
Nobody has received money. First,
I'm saying if it is, doesn't that open the door for the mud bugs or any other private business, Avalon Hair Salon, right, to go, I need money. I employ people.
I think this would be where, if this was something, it should be in the economic development, like where there is that there's NGO funding for economic development, right?
Right. So now your attorney, Donna Frazier, made a very valid point, and we need to put this in here. We give money to private business all the time through that. Amazon, correct. I mean, through tax rebates and all that.
Correct. And so that I'm asking questions like, show me what this development is. Who are these? So that's the only case I would say. It's in the wrong location if somebody's wanting money. I don't know that I believe in that completely. There's a lot of things that we find that I have lots of questions about. And I think that, once again, I'm grateful to see there's some great decorum happening on the commission right now.
Mm-hmm.
We should be able to have these conversations. And I think that's what's important, is a fleshing out of what is going on.
Okay, just got a text. We got a wrap. Someone says, why not let Caddo Parish citizens fund the Airline High School Booster Club? I'll leave it at that. Grace Ann, I appreciate you getting on the hot seat this morning.
The airline band boosters.
Oh, the band boosters. Okay. Yeah. Thursday's meeting will be good. Hopefully, we're going to have Scott Musket on this morning because I think he wants some money from y'all, too. I'm just going to put that out there.
Hey, ask him how many jobs they actually bring with the team.
Yes, we absolutely will. And how many years they've been in business and how many tickets they sell.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks y'all for asking the hard questions and holding us accountable.
Sure.
Bye.
Thank you, Grace Ann. Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commission. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
Who was it that said, it's always such a relief when you see a baby and you don't have to lie about how cute it is?
So true. So true.
Ruben?
Yes.
Showed me a picture this morning of his brand new niece.
Yes, had a very, very important birthday yesterday at the hospital, hanging out with my sister and my brand new niece, Mary Max, named after my mama.
I see, Ruben, I tried to name the baby for you.
I know. We tried to go with Rubina. I tried to talk her into it.
Did you?
Yeah, and she wasn't having it.
She wasn't going for it?
I guess I'll let my mom have the namesake.
Okay. She's a beautiful baby.
Ruben said Rubella. I don't think that was Rubella.
No. She wasn't going for that.
I was afraid I was going to be like Kramer when they showed Kramer the baby on Seinfeld. No filter. But that baby is beautiful, seriously.
It really, really is. Even the nurses were saying, this is the cutest one we've had in here in a while.
The cheeks. Where'd she get those little cute little puppy cheeks?
I had them when I was a baby, too.
Okay. So did you hold the baby and do all that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
It was everything we as a family and the staff could do to keep my mom from running out the front door with it.
First grandbaby?
Yep.
Oh, Lord. Yep. So what's your first gift going to be?
I'm going to go look today.
Okay.
I'm going to go shop around for baby safe stuff.
Okay. Let me just give you a few hints.
Okay.
No temporary tattoos.
No temporary tattoos.
Not going to be wanted. Let's see. Probably no hats. Not yet. Something cute to wear. Get something cute that the baby can wear.
I might put in an order for an opossum or Arthel onesie.
There you go. That's pretty good.
I'll see about that. I'll make a few calls today.
Oh, that's a good idea. Just congrats to your sister.
Congrats to Amy. And Chandler, her husband. They done good.
So the baby's name is Mary?
Mary Maxwell.
Mary Maxwell.
Mary wow. Max.
Mary Max.
Can I call her Rubina?
You can.
Okay. I just thought that worked out really good.
It's a fantastic name.
So is Uncle Rube going to be a babysitter?
I'm probably not, but
I'm with you. No.
Would you?
Yeah. Uncle Rube is not first in line for babysitting. I think Mama's going to come in first.
Right.
Yeah. Friends and let's see who's just getting out of jail. They're next. And then maybe Ruben. Congratulations.
One of your buddies in your mugshot.
Yeah. I see one every week.
Yeah.
Congrats, though. That's a big day.
It's a huge day. Mm-hmm. And we are so proud.
Good news. Mary Max.
Yep. Welcome to the world.
Yep.
101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty.